So welcome to the Health, Human Services, and Housing October 7th meeting. Calling it to order, can I take a motion to approve the September 7th regular meeting minutes?
Motion.
Second is Lopez, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, let's get into our resolutions.
Yep, I will start with Resolution 200, setting a public hearing on proposed local law 7, a local law amending the code of the county of Ulster in relation to evictions. Move for discussion.
Move it.
Second.
Second.
My understanding is we have a new ethics law and a new ethics board, and there shouldn't be any recusals. Am I mistaken on that?
Have we presented the question to that ethics board?
Is that, I mean, I don't know that we need to. I'm just asking if...
So you think that any ethical recommendation from prior ethics board just is gone?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I believe we clarified the law so that only specific pecuniary interests are of conflict, you know, so that folks that are have rental properties would not fall into the category of having a conflict of interest.
Is there a legal opinion on that?
Yeah, I was going to say, do we have anyone in the building?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's. I mean, I'm fine if we want to go to the new ethics board, ask them to interpret the new ethics law, and provide an opinion on that. I would like some progress on this. We've been. It's been about 14 months since I first submitted legislation for good cause eviction at the county level. Since then, my home community has passed it, so I rest a little bit easier knowing that my constituents are covered, but I get calls from folks all over the county. I always tell them to call their legislators as well, because I'm not, you know, I don't represent the entire county. But I hear some of these stories. I had someone, I believe they're in Plattekill or Lloyd or Modena, somewhere around there, and they called me the other day to talk about their landlord raising their rent, and I was able to connect them with DSS to see if they can help at all with their, you know, with their cost burden, you know, just in terms of being generally a low-income person. But I'm very eager to have a substantive conversation. We have yet to have a substantive conversation in the last 14 months since I submitted this legislation about good cause eviction. So if it's the will of the committee to request an advisory opinion. Remember, advisory opinions are a little bit weird. Typically, we do something and then they tell us if we did it right or wrong. So to ask them what they would say were we to do something is not how the ethics board has always operated, but I understand that we got an opinion in the past and we could do so again.
Yeah, I'm a little troubled to have an opinion on record and not have a fresh look at it. And so I guess I assumed that we would be going that way. If there is a strong sense that we don't need to do that, and that we just take an action and wait to see if there is an objection, I think you can make a case for that as well. It's just much harder, given that there is this opinion on record. And the change in the ethics law and the reconstitution of that committee did not explicitly challenge any of the members or the committee in any of their official functions.
So, you know, I'll just, if I may, I understand that the folks who are potentially in a conflict of interest are not able to speak or are in a state of recusal right now, so can't say that they would or wouldn't take an action on this. But my understanding is that it's the folks that are potentially in conflict that would need to request that. So I don't, being neither a landlord nor a tenant myself, I don't believe that I can request that, but I can commit to ensuring that it happens in the next, you know, couple of weeks to make sure that when this comes around, if we were going to postpone this yet again, I would commit to at least making sure that the question gets asked to the ethics board. Last time it took them 3 months. I'm very optimistic that that will not be the same fate this time. If that's how folks feel, that's the sense that I'm getting, and I'll try and set that in motion or have someone who would be in a state of conflict and currently in a state of recusal, I will try and get one of those folks who would be affected to actually be the, you know, petitioner to the ethics board.
I would do that because, again, you've gone long enough with this, and maybe I made the assumption that we got there when this was coming back forward in front of us. But if not, I am one of those legislators in conflict, so I'd make that motion to for you to clarify that for us to move forward.
Okay, I don't think we need a motion. No. I think we just can do it.
We'll do it per the request of the sponsor to postpone for another month.
That's fine.
Get some clarification.
Yeah, Legislator Erner, sorry.
Craig, you've got to recognize that.
Legislator Erner, you're on.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Loud and clear.
So the ethics board decision we've been talking about is not the only one they made that would affect what we're talking about here. I asked them for a separate opinion about my situation, which I believe I mentioned in this space previously, and they got back to me within the month, and that's why I'm able to happily report that I'm following their advice, which is that I can participate given my particular circumstance, but that should encourage others who would like to be able to debate and vote that even the previous board was quick about my request. And that also makes me think that the answer would come back in the affirmative, because the original decision that they gave, which seemed to cover a lot of people's housing, renting, and landlordship situations, they seemed to clarify that for my particular case. A second point is just that where good cause eviction laws have been enacted in the city of Kingston as well as the city of Albany, they've been challenged. Now, the judge in Albany apparently said that the law should be overturned because the state preempts, but it's been appealed. Here in Kingston, the judge said that he doesn't have the authority to even make a decision and sent it to the state. So in those two cases, if they're any indication of the overall thinking, it seems like the state needs to act. And I would ask the committee to consider writing a letter to the state post haste. I've had a conversation with representatives of State Senator Hinchey about this within the past week and a half, but the writing seems to be on the wall. And so either we need the state to legislate this for us, or if we'd like to retain that right for ourselves in the county, then we may need them to give us permission to do so. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Hearing none, we'll take no action.
All right. Next.
Hold on. Just a point of quick. Was there ever a motion on the table to postpone, or are we just taking no action?
I don't think so.
Okay. Cool. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't letting a motion fester. Thank you.
Okay.
Take no action. No motion festering allowed. Okay. Resolution 432, establishing a policy to dedicate the surplus revenue received from Ulster County real property public auctions. Motion to discuss.
I'll move it.
Nolan, second.
I'll second.
Duchatel, discussion. So this was up last month. There was some concerns and questions. Do you want to start, Legislator Nolan?
No, I just wonder how they've been resolved. I understood there was a collaborative process to be taken, and where did it end up? So.
Legislator Erner, should we start with you since it's yours? Changes since last
month? Sure. I would be happy for the committee to postpone this. I have not had sufficient conversation with the executive to make the necessary changes at this time.
Okay. He can't. So someone else make the motion to postpone? Legislator
Uchitel,
second. Nolan, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Next we have Resolution 492, urging the United States Congress, New York State Governor, and New York State Legislature to codify into law the right to food as a fundamental right. Motion to discuss.
Motion.
second. Nolan, any discussion? All in favor of resolution 492?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Unanimous. 493, urging the New York State Governor and New York State Legislature to adopt legislation guaranteeing universal access to free food for students in grades K through 12. Motion to discuss. Nolan, second. Uchitel, any discussion? All in favor of resolution 493?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Unanimous. Okay. Resolution 498, approving the execution of a contract entered by the county. There's some XXX, but I'll start with a motion to discuss resolution 498. You should tell a second. Nolan, discussion.
So we can put in the amendments?
Yes. So the amendments are that the time period would go till 2023. And that the financial impact would be $221,430.60. The department would be DSS, and the contractor would be Legal Services of Hudson Valley. Is that their official?
Mm-hmm, I think it is. And those changes would also be in the title of the resolution.
Yeah, that includes the title. The rest doesn't actually. So in the title, we have Legal Services Hudson Valley and Department of Social Services. In the summary, we have 2023. And in the financial impact, we have the $221,430.60. And then, yes, in the title list, but that would happen. So
make a motion that we accept those amendments.
Okay, second on that?
Second.
You should tell. All in favor of those amendments?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. On the resolution, any discussion? All right. Go ahead, Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So the 80% AMI provision here, I understand, lines up with something or other that is common. Is that where that? Can I ask that question to whoever can answer?
Sure. That is the common threshold. It's the threshold, the highest threshold of low income. So it's a bigger umbrella.
I just wonder whether we might consider raising that to 100%, and here's why. Even for a renter who is at exactly the median income of our county, suppose that their landlord also were at the exact median income in the county. Clearly, the landlord would have more power than the tenant in the situation. So I would want to ensure that at least half of the renters in our county, or those within the lower half of income, be eligible for this service. I understand that's not what the bid was for. So I'll put that out there as something that to consider, I guess, for the future. But any other thoughts about that idea?
Legislator Nolan?
I had the thought but didn't articulate it previously. We did have a bit of a discussion about the potential to do a change of service as we went forward with this contract. And so I think it'd be appropriate to look at that at that time and maybe get a cost figure on what number of people we would be talking about including and what the additional cost would be. I think there's some further work to be done to feel comfortable to do that. But there might be a chance to do that with other potential changes on this service.
Legislator, you should know.
Yeah, I'll just, drawing on my own experience, administering services that are based on a grant that's based on a poverty threshold, what I suspect will happen is one of two things will happen. Either there will not be enough people that meet the 80% AMI to keep legal services busy, and it would make sense for us to increase that threshold, and then we can make that amendment down the road, or there will be enough people that meet 80% AMI, which means that this is more targeted to lower income folks. So if we do have enough volume that there's enough people to keep legal services busy on and fulfilling this contract, that means that we have created a targeted resource, which is exactly what we're trying to do. So I actually see no downside to keeping the 80% there, knowing that we could adjust the contract, and that, you know, as I have been a service provider in the past, a service provider can always go to their contract agency and say, hey, we're not able to qualify enough people through 80%. Would you consider expanding it? It benefits them to expand it because they want to render the service. It benefits us to hear that feedback, and if we don't make that change now, it benefits those that are of most need to maintain the 80% threshold.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Just a quick question. I mean, just so everyone understands, AMI right now in Ulster County is $90,000.
It is?
Yeah.
The median?
Yeah, it's more than that, yeah.
But I thought it was 45.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, AMI, and that's my question. My question is that these get adjusted based on family size. Are you talking about an adjustment on 80% based on family size? Then it changes dramatically.
That's a good point. So I guess what I would say in reference, and kind of it's repeating, and I do appreciate you, Legislator Erner, saying we might want to consider for future. In many ways, I feel like we should see this as a pilot. That's why I'm proposing it as ARPA funding to respond to COVID situation, and that we are expecting data from the organization so we know who they're serving, and we could even include that we want to know, some more detail about the income thresholds, maybe not the specific incomes of the people they serve, but some sort of general information of like how many people who are under 20,000, how many 20 to 40, how many 40 to 60, so that we can decide for future resolutions how to change it. But I think I would be hesitant to make the change now because it would be a totally different number of people they would need to consider serving and a different cost.
We can give you a chart that shows you the AMIs adjusted for family size, and see what those numbers look like. And a straight 80% is going to be a substantial number.
So it's a pretty generous threshold at this point.
If you don't adjust them for family size.
Legislator Lopez, did you want to?
What's the title of this resolution?
Approving the execution of a contract for
$221,430.60
entered into by the county with Department of Legal Services, Hudson Valley Department of Social Services.
But that doesn't really say what it is.
Approving a contract.
In the stiptic, it says it. It'd be contract 2022 to 2023 eviction legal services.
Eviction legal services, yeah, and that's the point that I wanted to make earlier. Legislator Uchitel alluded to the fact that landlords could possibly be entitled to this funding as well if they met the criteria, correct?
I didn't say that, but that is what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, but I said that if legal services are being provided for individuals who are in this experience, I guess it's not impossible that if there was a landlord that didn't make enough money and couldn't afford an attorney, they could make this argument that they should seek this. But for the most part, the outreach are for individuals who are facing eviction who need legal services to protect them.
But wouldn't it be important to include that someplace that way? I don't want the title to just say eviction. Right. If that's the case.
Well, we do have the backup of their proposal, their full proposal, which articulates their target.
And our RFP.
So that should be considered with this as the backup.
Right, but I think his point, it's not in the title, because right now we're talking of the 80% at $72,000.
You want to propose an amendment to the title? Since we're amending the title now, is that would make you feel more comfortable?
Well, I just wanted to be fair.
Right, it's just a standard contract title. That's how we do.
No, I understand that. I just thought, in the spirit of transparency, I would like, that landlords also know that this is a possibility, that they could be entitled to some of this funding if that's yeah, if they meet that criteria. So instead of just having eviction, you know, maybe we could tweak that a bit in order to be a little more inclusive.
Well, currently the title, let me just get the... So right now...
Just make a quick comment on that.
Mark.
I think if it's going to go in the Department of Social Services, if you're setting it up to where you can defend landlords or that you're giving legal services to landlords to initiate eviction proceedings, there might be some conflict there. I think
I should have not said that. I didn't mean it in that light. I was sort of reflecting the fact that this is supposed to be serving those people who cannot afford an attorney. So I take that back. But I guess the terms, I mean, it says evictions, legal services in the descriptor, in the summary. I guess I just want to be clear so we can move along. What would you feel more comfortable being articulated in this resolution, considering that the backup is a legal aspect of the resolution that would just make this
rental legal services?
Could be an and or.
Well,
it could be as simple as an and or.
Well, could you be more specific with what your
services?
Right. The RFP did not include. The RFP did not include landlords. It's services for individuals facing eviction.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's legal services. It's not going to defend landlords.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would present a conflict of interest to them. I didn't think to say that at the time.
Right, which is, in part why you kind of walked back the comment, because although, you know, on paper, a landlord may be entitled to the same services, they qualify. It's just not what the resolution was entitled
right.
for.
Right, it was not.
Yeah. I got a little bit of an issue, but, if that's going to be a legal conflict, then, you know, I would also like to ask legal counsel the question as well for a legal opinion, but,
go ahead, Mark. Sure.
I'll just say, too, that normally, you know, this would be coming with a contract as backup, but because it was chosen this morning and county attorney's office hasn't had a chance to look at it, some of your questions would normally be sorted out in the Schedule A, which
sure.
is the list of services,
right.
and I'm assuming the which Schedule A will not include this
right.
type of...
Well, is this time sensitive for us to go forward today?
So two things. One, I would say in a way it is, because this is something that I mean, to speak to the first resolution that I'm not to specifically speak of, or maybe I am, is this problem of eviction, increases of evictions associated with when the rental freeze pause occurred, you know, it was put in for COVID, then it went away. Mm-hmm. This problem, this really ideally should have been 2 years ago that this went into place. While I would rather it pause and pass than not, it is timely. It is. We're also at near the end of spending our ARPA money, so it's important to me that this is an element that's not inclusive in the ARPA sort of overall model, so that it gets on that list.
Is a month going to make a difference?
What?
Is a month going to make a difference?
It can. We're getting pretty close to the bottom of our ARPA funds. And we're also getting into our budget situation. What I would request is that if you are willing to move it out of this committee, knowing that there's the second ways, I'd be happy to postpone it from the first Ways and Means for the second. That gives plenty of time for you all to look at what the Schedule A looks like and the Schedule C, to talk to your attorneys, to do all those kinds of elements. And then if it doesn't work its way out of Ways and Means, or it doesn't, you know, we can figure out what to do then and potentially postpone it then. But that is my request, is that you consider allowing it to move out of this, and then knowing that there'll be 2 or a week and a half that you could be running it by your...
Yeah, you know, I personally don't feel comfortable moving forward, but I am only one vote, so I would like to have those questions answered, and I'm going to reach out to our legislative council in order to get those. So Yeah, I'm going to be a no on this, but like I said, I'm only one vote here.
Go ahead.
I would normally like to provide the extra time. I think that in this case, there are individuals actually already lacking this service. And so I appreciate the integrity of a no vote, but I would like us to call the question on it rather than postpone for further information.
So what is the threshold for legal services now? Is it 80% or is it 40%?
I think it's different for different requests that they get, depending upon their funding sources.
So as far as we know, they have funding now to take care of people who are being evicted.
Yeah, they have in their RFP how many people they currently serve, or have currently served in the past year.
And a month, they wouldn't be able to take on any new clients.
Well, they haven't been
saying?
Able to take on any new clients, which is why we put this forward, that they are at their maximum. So it's allowing them to expand the services they're already providing. Without us moving forward, they cannot expand the services they're already providing. And so those individuals who are facing evictions will not have the ability to have a fair trial.
So if they have to hire more attorneys, are we capping it at $221,000?
Yes.
Because if this contract goes all the way through to 2023,
it would
so
be
if they
capped.
Spend that in the next 4 months, are we going to be on the hook for another
no.
five, six, $700,000, $1 million.
No, nope. It's a pilot. We're capping it. If they spend it all, I don't think, I mean, if 75 people are being, I don't think one attorney can serve 75 people in 1 month, but if they run out beforehand, then that's it. This is a cap. I think it would certainly, would I put forth a budget amendment in January requesting an amendment mm-hmm. to the 2023 budget because we have this just huge need? Sure, I might put in a budget request because they've spent all of this and there's still a need. But for this point, it's an ARPA pilot. We don't know how much, you know, to Legislator Uchitel's earlier point, they either I doubt it's going to slow down, but it could, or it goes up. But they, on this is the amount that they would not be able to exceed.
I don't know. It's being pushed through so quickly. Yours has been there 14 months.
They're very, very
yours,
different.
It seems to be always.
Well, mine is a law. This is a contract.
Yeah.
And
I would just
reiterate what I see is that there are legal evictions and illegal evictions. What this contract does is provide an attorney for somebody who can't afford it to determine. Have a judge determine whether or not it's a legal eviction or an illegal eviction. And given that there are a lot of illegal evictions, this is protective of people who have their rights are being violated, but they don't have the money to go in front of a court and have the court make that determination. Hmm. So,
which I understand, and I've also been on the other end where I've been a landlord that hasn't been able to do evictions because I didn't have the money because I hadn't gotten rent in 6 months. Okay,
yep.
and then of course, you know, fortunately, because they trashed the apartment, the building inspector would come in and just close it, which is not usually how it happened, but I mean, months.
We did have open, I think now still, ARPA funding for small businesses who have had trouble because of COVID and then everything that's followed from it. Mm-hmm. So we have tried to address that. This is addressing a population that often doesn't get addressed. And has the least means. So I think that the philosophical conversations about the changing the law on this, you know, I think have much bigger ramifications. This is trying to provide basically civil rights support for somebody who has a right but is not able to protect it on their own. So I see it as very similar to the public defender's office but in the civil realm.
So I'm going to propose, I was hesitant to do this because of respect for all of your time, but, you know, I do understand that Legislator Lopez pointed out the desire of having more time. It seems like Legislator Petit wants more time. they get the sense of having a special meeting on, well, we have to have this through Ways, a special meeting for health, but would it be able to go to Ways and Means if we have a...
The second one.
So if we have a special meeting prior to the second Ways and Means, to discuss on just this resolution, would that make you feel better? I would say if you agree to move it forward out of this committee, then you would also have the same amount of time before Ways and Means to address any of these issues. But if you absolutely do not want to do that path, we could have a whole nother meeting right before the second Ways and Means, allowing you time to have those conversations. So would you like to add another meeting before the second Ways and Means and talk about this one, or potentially move it out of this and we could talk in Ways and Means?
Well, you know, I think that would take some scheduling in order to get everybody on board, and I know that that's been difficult. You know, I guess it's something to consider, but you know what? At the same time, I would still, want to have everything clarified prior to. And I think you had mentioned once before that Ways and Means really isn't a process committee. So I don't know if that's what, you know, this is the committee in order to get the answers.
Well, that's sometimes true.
For the questions that we're proposing. So, you know, look, I can respect the fact that you want this to move forward and that this is time sensitive, you know, in a way, but I think 1 month really isn't going to make a difference. Yeah, me personally. So, you know, I would, I'm still going to be a no on this, and, you know, until I can be satisfied knowing that my questions are answered.
I understand. Just with all due respect and on that, there has been several times where I've been not fully satisfied with a resolution, and I voted in favor to move it out of this, knowing that these issues would be discussed in Ways and Means. And the specific contracting language and all that, because we would have the contract, so it is very appropriate. And so I just want to put that out there, that there are many times where I said I'm giving this yes vote with the expectation that these answers would come by Ways and Means. So I would appreciate the same kind of respect back, but you know, just to be clear, as a member of Ways and Means, you are, you know, generally that shouldn't be the whole content conversation, but if it's do we want to provide eviction services, then that's what we should be talking about here, and then with the specifics of what it should say in the contract, I think is perfectly reasonable to have for Ways and Means, and would give ample time to, you know, pass it through whoever else you needed to.
Okay, no, I understand, and I respect that opinion. But yeah, no, I'm still going to stand by the fact that I think that a month isn't going to make a difference.
So I would just ask if the questions that you would want answered, are there questions that you would want answers to that would change your opinion about voting for this resolution? The details of the contract you would get a chance to look at in Ways and Means. So is there something else that would change your content position about this? I mean, it seems to me that the content is pretty clear of what this is intended to do.
Right, now the fact that there was that there was going to be a conflict if we had, included the potential of landlords being entitled to the same services. So that's something I would like clarified. And, you know, I would like a legal opinion on that from our counsel. So, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think that if we want to provide those services, we would need to do it separately based on what we've heard from the executive's office and what was in the RFP and the nature of the services provided by this this consultant we plan to hire. So I think the answer to that question is we can't do that under this resolution in this contract. That doesn't mean we couldn't do it.
Sure.
But I don't think that's going to change in a month. And so if that is a deal breaker for you, then I think a no vote makes sense. But
no, I get it. Well, and that's not the only thing either. I think, you know, my other disagreement is just our fundamental role as a county. You know, I think it's not necessarily taking sides. I just think that it's not fair in order to, you know, use taxpayer dollars in order to represent just the potential tenant who's being evicted and not, you know, provide those same services to a landlord. You know, because that, to Tommy's point and to Laura's point is that, you know, these landlords, that they're not necessarily making a lot of money. Of course, to think that they're of means because they have houses that they rent, I just don't think that that's necessarily always the case. So not to provide, you know, a service to them as well, I think is just, it's not a fair process.
As a member of the public, I would just like to register an objection.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Less than 80% of AMI,
sir.
On an equal footing as people facing losing their homes.
Thank you, but please, I appreciate and I understand the emotion behind it, but please, you need to be in order. But I will speak to the fact that, and you know, I know I've said this earlier, this isn't about tipping the scales, this is about balancing it. I could tell you for anyone who even gets public defense services, if a person can have a lawyer that they pay for, they tend to prefer to do that path. This is really only in situations where you can't afford to have an attorney, and this is about having a fair trial. This isn't having a better trial. This doesn't increase the likelihood that someone who should be evicted isn't. This goes back to something Legislator Nolan says. This only changes the situation if it's someone who legally should not be evicted. And, you know, most landlords are good landlords who wouldn't wrongly evict people. Mm-hmm. And this is not really who, and I think those are the people you're concerned with. Some landlords, and there's some tenants who are crap tenants and shouldn't get to stay when they are breaking the law, without doubt. And in that case, even if they'll get fair, they'll get a legal services, it doesn't mean that they'll win the case. If they're doing something illegal, they're doing something illegal. Again, a murderer should have the right to legal defense, even if they were caught red-handed, because you get a fair trial. So this is about a fair trial, and not about tipping the scales. And again, it's recognizing that, as was brought up earlier, the individuals who typically cannot afford to have the legal services to assure a fair trial are these tenants. If there is evidence that individuals who are landlords are unable to manage the costs to protect their properties, then I think absolutely another resolution could go in to say we feel that these landlords cannot afford the costs of protecting their properties, and as small business owners, we want to figure out a way to help them. But this particular resolution is to protect those individuals who can't afford to, who are struggling and are only potentially illegally evicted. And again, it's just the legal services.
But in fairness, though, honestly, do you think a resolution like that would ever, you know, it might not
look like that, but it might be a small business. It might be small business support in a different way. So, but the point being is this is addressing a quantitatively known issue where individuals are facing eviction who cannot afford legal services. We all know legal services don't guarantee you win the case. Legal services just means you have someone representing you who is informing you of what your rights are and aren't. Mm-hmm. If you are doing something illegal and your landlord brings you to court for eviction, you will lose, even whether an attorney sitting next to you or not. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's less of a problem with retrial or whatever, or any other kinds of questions, because everything was done correctly. The person's more likely to show up. The landlord's not less likely to have to go over and over again and nobody's there. So this is really to resolve those issues of when it's a good landlord, a landlord that's taking advantage, and a person who should not be evicted. And it's not helping someone who should be evicted, except to provide the legal services, but it doesn't change whether illegal is illegal. All right, legislator, you should tell.
Well, I'll defer to legislator Nolan.
Well, I would just say that also the consequences here are very different. So the person who's evicted illegally becomes homeless, and then we have to deal with a homeless person or family. And the business owner, in proceeding with an eviction that may be legal or illegal, is not at risk of that consequence. And it's the fact that we are dealing with homelessness as this rising problem that makes me want to make sure that we don't have people coming into the homeless population.
Sure. No, I get it.
Yeah, that we could otherwise protect. So.
Go ahead, Deputy Executive Writer.
I'll just point out that with this type of legal service, if they are over capacity now and you were to delay this another month in November, wait to pass it, contract's not going to get signed by them until December, and they're not going to bring somebody on board until January or February, and you're going to be dealing with people not getting eviction legal services in the winter when they probably can't afford to be evicted. So, I mean, I think there is reason to push forward here this month.
Yeah, and I'll just say on the question of the kind of the some of these questions about, like, well, what if the tenant didn't pay rent and things like that, I'll just, because we like talking about the public defender as a comparison study here, I'll just say that the outcome of Gideon versus Wainwright wasn't a lawyer will be provided for you unless you did it, right? It was that a lawyer will be provided for you, period. So that's basically what we're doing here, and it gets determined in the courtroom whether or not the non-payment of rent is material or, you know, whatever it is.
Go ahead, Legislator.
Something?
Oh.
Phil,
go first. Okay, go ahead, Legislator Erner.
Thank you. I just want to observe, following Legislator Nolan's most recent comment, that provided the practical, to my mind, all of the practical evidence that we need to go forward with this post-haste, and I wish I could be there to vote yes. But I'll just add, as a matter of philosophy, what is unfair to me is the current property relations that make this even necessary, and the fact that some people own the homes of other people in our county, state, and country. And so that fundamental unfairness, I'll call it, is what we are attempting to bring some balance to by funding a service that we already use here in Ulster County and has filled up with capacity, as has been pointed out. But just to say it again, legal services basically one month has capacity and the next month doesn't, to take on all of the cases that they're supposed to be handling at the moment. Thank you.
Legislator Petit.
Thank you, and I'd like to thank Legislator Nolan, because something you said did trigger, my decision. If I had had more information, I'd feel very comfortable about moving forward, and I don't want to keep belaboring this because it's getting really tense. And yes, had the questions been answered, that it's procedural, that's really just floored me. That there's, and in fact, I did just hear back from legal services and know that they are understaffed. But extracting that information and then expecting us to make a decision while we're here is really unnecessary. And I've been on Legislator Uchitel's side, where I've been 14, 15, just trying to get resolutions through until you get to the point where you're just so frustrated you pull them. So, I don't see that's necessary either. So I will, with grave concerns, agree to move this out of committee. I can't guarantee if those questions are not answered that I'll vote yes on the floor. And again, it's procedural. You know, if it was this important, I'm not sure why it wasn't addressed months ago, because we knew the moratorium was coming. So now to say that we're handed something and we have to vote yes on it or have it fail in committee is really a shame.
So I appreciate you being willing to do that. I will say, just as a point of how it rolled out, and I wish that I did this 2 years ago. You know, we started these housing subcommittees, and this is where this came up. I mean, in retrospect, of course we should know, just like there's a lot of things we figure out, we hear in these meetings that we're like, oh my gosh, we should have done that a long time ago. But this is coming out of the conversations from community members and service providers in these housing meetings, specifically the one led by legislator Uchitel and Erner, that identified this need. And the you know, the RFP process takes a few months. So there was getting the RFP together, getting it out there, giving them time, allowing them an extension. So this process did start several months ago, and I did share many meetings that this process was in place. I shared the RFP several months ago. So I appreciate you're doing that, but I just want to sort of explain why I hadn't thought of this 2 years ago. I wish I did. I know it would have helped a lot of people, and I probably would be presenting this as a request or a budget amendment to keep this going even more if I had thought of this in the past. So, you know, I think there's a lot of times we find ourselves thinking, why didn't we start this a while ago? But I do appreciate that, Legislator Petit. Any other comments on this? Oh, yes.
Just one point to consider, I think, is that I'm familiar with some of the clients that legal services of the Hudson Valley defends in eviction proceedings. And it's not always necessarily the case that they get the eviction proceeding dismissed. Frequently, they review the allegations by the landlord who initiated the eviction proceedings, and those are valid. And they assist that tenant who they're helping to defend, you know, understand that if you don't have any counterclaims that you can bring, these allegations are appropriate, and you maybe have not paid your rent. You need to begin to make plans for the fact that these allegations are valid. This eviction proceeding can't be successfully defended. You're ultimately going to end up being evicted. So it's not an automatic outcome. And I think that is something to take into consideration, because sometimes those cases can be resolved by the tenant and the landlord arriving at terms where the tenant will vacate the premises. So that's just something to think about. And
yeah,
that can often be helpful, and those cases are dispensed with relatively quickly. But where the eviction proceeding sets forth allegations that are not necessarily accurate or legitimate under the terms of a lease or the condition of the premises, you know, then that defendant tenant will benefit from having legal representation.
Thank you. And I would just also add that part of their proposal was that if this person needs to leave that premises, they will also connect them to people who can help them find housing, so these people don't end up homeless as a result, but maybe they are living in a place beyond their means. And so there is other supports in there to make sure that they're not just left. Okay. So all in favor of Resolution 498 as amended?
If I could just make one more comment.
Sure.
You know, I think that there's, again, whether I'm right or wrong, it's just my opinion. I think there's a level of fairness that has to be addressed. And I think a service like this is better left to a not-for-profit, you know, rather than having, turning it into a government service that, you know, again, in my opinion, isn't going to represent both parties equally. So with that said, it is going to pass. I'm not going to be a no on it. And, hopefully between now and when it gets to the floor, I'll have some of those questions clarified. So
appreciate it. All right. So let's just keep with that. All in favor of Resolution 498 as amended?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstained? All right. Unanimous. Thank you. Resolution 501, authorizing the County of Ulster to submit an application insurance through New York State Housing Trust funds as a part of the New York State Homes and Community Renewal, et cetera, et cetera. Motion to discuss.
So moved.
Longest title ever. Second.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? No? All right. All in favor of Resolution 501?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstained? All right. Resolution 509, setting a public hearing on proposed local law 11, providing the administration enforcement of New York State Uniform Fire Prevention and Building Code. I'll start with a motion to discuss. Just to discuss?
Motion.
Second. You should tell. Okay. Go ahead.
This was postponed yesterday, so I'm going to ask that the committee take no action.
Okay. Any problem with that?
I do want to point out that the reason that we postponed it in law enforcement is because there were some last-minute changes. I still have not seen those changes. I know that there's been zero business hours since the close of that meeting and the start of this meeting. So I appreciate that. But we are setting ourselves up because of the timeline for when this needs to be adopted and the fact that it's a local law that requires public hearing. We're setting ourselves up for a very condensed passage of this by the end of the year, including taking advantage of it, you know, once a year opportunity of two legislative sessions, which is in December, so we might have to like have the public hearing at the first session and then pass it at the second session, which puts us in certainly a point of stress that I wish that we could have avoided. And I won't go into the substance because I don't know what the substance is because I haven't seen the new one yet.
Okay. So,
and I'll just add that what is being changed is that the county attorney's office realized that they were just amending the local law and really needed to be amending the administrative code. And I also want to give Legislator Corcoran a chance to, he's reviewed it at his other job, and so I want to give him a chance to talk to the county attorney's office on a few things.
It's kind of boilerplate. Each municipality passes this, and it's passed it pretty much 99%. I have a few questions in here that are on a couple of the strikeouts on the exemptions that are contradictory to the 2020 New York State Code that we currently use. So those are the few questions I had. Other than that, again, 90% of it's boilerplate from the state. This basically is just telling us that we are going to abide by the rules and regulations adopted by New York State, by the Codes Division, and if a municipality fails to put forward a code enforcement officer or building inspector, the county would have a representative take over that municipality and govern over the 2020 code. This is not the code. This is just giving the county and each municipality the authority to have somebody enforce the fire prevention codes, the building codes, and the residential and commercial codes.
So can I just ask before we decide on the take no action, given your concerns, you know, the other option is, were you considering having a special meeting to discuss this to move up the timeline, and would it benefit that we move it out of here so that you, respecting that your committee will do due diligence with it in a special meeting, or are you expecting that you're going to talk about it next month?
I'm expecting that we're going to talk about it next month. I mean, okay. It's possible that we have a few avenues if we need to move forward with it that don't involve a special meeting. If I had it in hand today, I would maybe consider that. But, you know, it would be, in order to make that even help us at all, that would need to happen before this month's session, and I don't want to rush that.
No problem. All right, so we're going to take no action on this. Next, we
can
have
resolution. Can I just ask one more question? I mean, there were amendments to this above and beyond the state.
But a lot of it was the same wording was stricken and then rewritten underneath it. So a lot of it was contradictory. I mean, it wasn't contradictory. It was very similar with a minor change.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of you did see a lot of rewrite. But if you look at all the striking, it was most of it was built back in there with a little bit of better wording. Sometimes they feel it's better to write it their way than what the state wrote it, but again, it's boilerplate,
okay.
Just allowing us to do our job.
May I ask something?
Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you. How did this, why are we doing this now? Or I guess what I mean is who was responsible for setting this in motion and who recommended these changes?
State.
Mandatory by the state. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You can fight it out.
If I may. So we have to do this based on the state requiring us to do so. We have to do it by the end of the year. That is why we're doing it. The actual content of what is included in this local law itself was drafted by the county safety department and in collaboration with the county attorney, I believe is correct. Yeah. So the why is
Thank
the state
you.
And the what is the county.
All right. So we're going to go on taking no action? Okay. I'm going to suggest we block resolutions 513, 514, 515, and 516. These are all federal or state funding with the Department of Social Services.
What about 512?
I skipped 512. Sorry, I paused on that. Resolution 512 approving the execution of a contract, thank you, for $285,700 entered into the county with Columbia University. Motion to discuss.
Motion.
Second, you should tell any discussion on that. Okay, all in favor of Resolution 512?
Aye.
Okay, and ask of a motion
for... Move to block 513, 514, 515, and 516.
Thank
Second.
You.
Second. On the block.
All right, all in favor of the block?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. All in favor of the resolutions in the block?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next, we have 517 authorizing execution of an intermunicipal agreement with the Dutchess County Department of Behavioral and Community Health. Motion to discuss.
I'll move it.
Second. You should tell. Discussion.
Yeah, I had questions on this at the chair committee
mm-hmm.
meeting. And what exactly are the services that are going to be provided?
Commissioner?
Yeah. So this is regarding the 988 implementation within the state. State Office of Mental Health approached Dutchess County, who has a helpline to be the responder for Dutchess, Ulster, and Sullivan counties for calls that are coming through 988, and the caller is identified as being a resident of this county. This will allow us to enter into an agreement so that we can share resources, information, so that they can share with the callers in order to be able to support them.
Okay, very good.
All right, any other? All in favor of Resolution 517?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstain? Right. Resolution 518, authorizing an intermunicipal agreement. Did I just do this? No, another one. To accept federal block grant funding for the City of Kingston to support the pilot program Kingston Mobile Mental Health. Motion to discuss. Thank you.
Second.
Second. Okay, so I think you should tell second Nolan. Discussion?
I did have questions on this.
Go ahead, Legislator Nolan.
Meeting. Is this just since it's City of Kingston funding? Is this just within the City of Kingston?
Yes.
Okay. That was it.
So what I was wondering, and I had asked for some information, can you explain, because originally when we funded the start of mobile mental health, I think it was probably a year and a half ago or so, we started in Kingston. So there was a Kingston mobile mental health. Can you just explain how this is different, expansion of, or a continue, like what? How does that relate to the one we already had, since
absolutely.
It's called the pilot? Yeah,
absolutely. So the mobile mental health team in Ulster County started back in 2016 with OMH reinvestment dollars. And so that team started with Kingston and Ellenville. So those are the two teams. And they covered those in the two teams being located in those two areas, but they covered the entire county. And so what Kingston had identified, or the City of Kingston identified, is that though the team is awesome, many times when they're calling them, they're elsewhere. And the City of Kingston has a higher volume and would require more focus to have a team of their own. So that's what they applied for through the block grant. they put forth a pilot that was not just another extension of the mobile mental health team like we're doing in New Paltz. But what they decided is that they wanted to go a different way in terms of the service provision, and they're doing the pilot in which they have a EMT coupled with a mobile mental health team clinician, and they will be doing the responses. And the responses can be either medical or they could be psychiatric and emotional, and they would be providing this integrated sort of response. So that's going to be focused in the city of Kingston and paid for by this grant.
So just to follow up on that, because the money we already allocated for Kingston Mobile Mental Health, will that be allocated to a separate municipality, or is that an expansion so that Kingston will be doing, have twice the capacity, or is that money being moved? Because right now we have money for Kingston Mobile Mental Health.
Right. So, but also remember, the Kingston team is serving the entire county.
Right. No, understood. So just
I'm
wondering
not
what
sure
happens
if
to
we
that money.
Look to say, you know, we're going to be rerouting those dollars, because they would still be serving, you know, Shuangum and Highlands and all of that sort of stuff. But that's just how the terms of the contract are.
Granted.
Plus the other pieces too is that the Kingston team will be doing that integrated physical health, mental health. There may be a time when that mobile mental health team would still be the most appropriate response. The Kingston team pilot will be coming with an ambulance. You'll have to go through 911. And it would depend on the person's need, whether they want an ambulance or whether it would be better for them to have the traditional mobile mental health response. So we're not saying that Kingston residents would no longer have access to this. We would be discerning and making the right response depending on the call.
I appreciate it. I mean, it's slightly different than the first part of the answer, which is it still serves the whole county, because I would say for the southern tier, then maybe that money should get moved to the New Paltz Mobile Mental Health so that they can further serve the southern tier. So as opposed to a different kind of an expansion of service for Kingston. So I'm fine either way. I think what I just want to ask for, and I have asked for it before, and I'm willing to wait till Ways and Means, is to really understand, like, what we have, who they serve currently, how much it's fully costing us, because we've added each of these, and I'm not against it at all, but, you know, we keep adding them as piecemeal, so what it full cost is overall plus the cost to us, because some of this is federal funding. And even more important, if there's a plan in 2023 to do more expansion, to have a sense of that, because sometimes when we see our budget, that's all not clear. So I would love to know where we're serving, and even if it's a map and it's got circles around it, sort of coloring, so how, where the overlap, where it isn't, how this is, you know, the service area, so we could see if there's gaps, understand whether this funding is better moved to one of the other mobile mental health. And again, you know, if you could make a different color of one that sort of says, and for 2023, we would, you know, like, have we hit what we want, or are we actually going to be expanding it, so that in the end of the day, someone to say, how much do we spend on mobile mental health, you know, that we really understand how much we're spending, how much we're serving, are we getting everybody, just to have the picture would be useful.
So in terms of the number, there was a document that I shared late yesterday that I'll make sure all of the committee members are have an opportunity to be able to review. And then Access Supports for Living provides us with a great amount of detail that does sort of break it down by where the calls are coming from, which will also give a
that'll be helpful.
We have great visuals on municipalities, so you'll be able to see
perfect
the reach. Yep.
And mostly it's to know whether in Legislator Nolan's community or Legislator Lopez's community, like, are they being as fully served, or should we be requesting an expansion to make sure that they're fully served? If it's effective, then we would want to make sure everyone has it. And so that's all. It's not a doubt that it's effective. It's sort of just let's have a picture, because it's been so piecemeal for the past year and a half.
I would say since mentioned that we do receive services from Mobile Mental Health, and they're wonderful and vital. This is funding that I think the city of Kingston has procured, and so to use it for a pilot program focused on the city of Kingston makes sense, and then we'll know if we should expand and have this level of service available throughout the county.
No doubt. This request I made has related to other resolutions where we're talking about expanding mobile mental health. I just still want to know what our story is.
Hi, Barbara Hill, Alderwoman, Ward 1, Kingston, and we have had a lot of discussion on the council. It's funding that's available. It is a pilot for the probably a model that we've seen elsewhere. I've talked to the mayor prior to all these discussions, and the city's overwhelmed by the number of calls they get, and again, sometimes they're out somewhere else in the county, but regardless, there is a tremendous volume, and it's great to see it considered here, but it's the funding's there, and the need is there, but I would appreciate, too, seeing the call volume. That would be really helpful, but it's good to be here.
Thank you.
Discussion.
And again, nothing, no doubt that this is important. It just... want to understand what we're doing. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor of Resolution 518?
Aye.
Thank you. Next, we have Resolution 519, an execution of a contract entered into the county with access support for living. A motion to discuss?
Moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Let's see if I have anything. So this is the walk-in?
No.
Sorry. Go ahead, please. Thank you.
This is the actual funding that is connected to the resolution.
Oh, the previous one. Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. All in favor of Resolution 519?
Aye.
Oh, so they're providing the services within that. Okay.
Yeah, it's a subcontract.
That's interesting. Next, we have Resolution 520, approving the execution of a contract for 768 entered into the county with access support for living.
Happy
motion
to move
discuss.
It.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion? So the only thing I was wondering about was this is OMH pass-through for crisis intervention services, and I had asked and just hadn't gotten the answer yet of whether this is the kind of pass-through money that could ultimately, once the crisis stabilization center is in place, be applied towards that.
This is this OMH pass-through dollars that pays for the base team. If the county determined that with the inception of the Crisis Stabilization Center that we would want to redirect funding that's connected to the base team, but we could absolutely go to OMH and make that request. I don't know if I would suggest that. The idea that this is the money that is, everything is fundamentally built on top of it. So all of the expansion, the New Paltz team, the Kingston pilot, all of it is built on these pass-through dollars. So when we take that away, we're destabilizing the service.
The mobile mental health services.
Correct.
Understood. Although it would be interesting because right now what happens is, you know, police have to take people all the way to the other county for crisis stabilization, that it might reduce some of the needs from a month off, but just to know whether it's possible. It's not built, so it's not an issue right now. It's just more of trying to understand for future reference. But I appreciate your desire to hold this money for what it's doing. Okay, any other questions? We're all in favor of Resolution 520?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstention? Okay. Next, we have Resolution 521, approving a contract for ASTER services with the Department of Mental Health. Actually, can I have a motion to block 521, 522, 523? Let's start with that. 521, 22, and 23.
Move to block 521, 522, and 523.
Second? Okay, on the block.
Aye.
Yes.
All right. On the resolutions?
Aye.
Yes.
All right. Great. Thank you. 524, contract for $2,248,000 entered with Gateway. Motion to discuss?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
My question was, this is a provision of supported housing, community services, treatment apartment. So can you just briefly just clarify what this is what they they're doing with this money?
Sure. So this contract represents all of the services for the state pass-through with Gateway. So that's their housing, the two different levels of housing that they do, three, because they also have the community residence. So they have a community residence, treatment apartments, and also supported housing. That's a good chunk of this contract. It also supports a clinical program, PROS, Personalized Recovery Oriented Services. It includes vocational services, vocational internship also with Gateway, and it includes a transportation contract to help individuals get to Pine Grove Clinic for clinical support. So it's
care
quite
and how's the
care coordination.
The population serve which population does it specifically?
For the contract includes service to individuals that have mental health challenges as well as developmental disabilities.
Okay.
I have a question about, I'm looking at the scope of services page, and there's three, as you mentioned, there's three programs. The first two have the same target population. The last has almost the same, but it also further requires the eligibility, rather further requires that eligible individuals are discharged from Rockland Psychiatric Center or a state-operated community residence. Can you just give a little bit of background as to when that, you know, how that happens, how someone ends up there and ends up then coming into this program with that as a starting point?
Do you want to take that?
No, okay. That's a great question. Go for it.
So I want to make sure that I have the right part of the contract. Is it the Gateway Community Residence?
This is the Community Services Program for Psychiatric Care
Long
Stay Beds. Yeah, so there's only three, and the service capacity is three, so it's like an order of magnitude smaller than the other two buckets.
Yes.
Yeah.
So those were dollars that were particularly identified for when there was massive state hospitalization restructuring in the state. Here locally, we lost Hudson River Psychiatric Center. This was the state's way of being able to identify that though there may still be individuals that require that high level of inpatient hospitalization, they're not best served there. So they're not coming out, they're not being discharged to housing that can meet their needs, because if it were 1981, they would still be in psychiatric centers, right? So yes, our system has moved to something that is more recovery-based and community-based. We need to support folks at home, but they still have a high level of need. So this is a response to that sort of conundrum, that we don't want them in hospitals, we want them at home, but we need to make sure that they have complete access to the housing. Our lists are challenging. So they earmarked that these beds would be identified for folks that are making that movement. They're coming from state psychiatric centers and coming back. The services that they should have are a little bit higher than the regular supported housing. They should have a little bit more wraparound, and they should have ease in returning because those beds would be available. As you can imagine, they fill up fairly quickly, and then they stay full because they still have a high level of need.
Right. So because these are folks that are coming from a state facility, and they're, I assume, prior to being... prior to entering that facility, they were residents of the county, which is why, what I'm trying to understand is, like, do we have a sense of how many people are in this circumstance? Because if the eligibility is that you're at one of these facilities, shouldn't we know how many people might be coming out of those facilities into this type of program?
Sure, and we work really closely with Rockland Psychiatric Center, which is our regional hospital that has most of these folks currently. At any given time, there's probably like under 10, probably most, but around 5 folks that are either from this county or recognizing that they'd like to come back, they'd like to come to this county because, you know, as a citizen of New York State, they're allowed to go anywhere they like. So if they're working in Rockland Psychiatric, say they, before they were admitted, they were in Orange County, but they have a mom that lives in Ulster County, Rockland Psychiatric Center is going to work with them to come to Ulster County because that's where their supports are, even though they weren't necessarily, you know, a resident here prior. But we work directly with RPC in trying to keep a hands on, because the treatment plan for these individuals, since they're there, is beyond what you would see in an acute hospital. Acute hospital, 2 weeks, you're in and out. RPC, you're there anywhere from 6 months to a year or even more than that, which gives us opportunity to know them while they're there, get a sense of what they need when they come out, and identify resources like those long-stay beds, which is why they call them that, long-stay or for long-stay individuals at the psych centers that need to come back to the community.
So do we, is three... Like it says service capacity, that's service capacity for the grant, but that might not be the actual physical service capacity.
I mean, honestly, those beds are often not filled. We call them beds because the level, it's a pretty independent living situation. These people have their own apartment, and quite honestly, people that go to RPC might have other living arrangements that they're coming back to and wouldn't necessarily want this service, but also very often need a higher level of care. So a lot of times people come from Rockland and go into our community residence, which Gateway also operates. It's actually kind of hard. One way of saying, I think we have plenty of slots because often, yeah.
Great, thank you. That's what I was getting at. I really appreciate the explanation on this. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, all in favor of Resolution 524?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Unanimous. 525, approving the execution of a contract entered into the county with Health Alliance. This is 100% state pass through as well.
I'll move it.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
All in,
questions?
Go ahead.
Speak?
Hold on. Go ahead, Legislator Erner.
I can yield to whoever else was about to speak.
She yielded to you before you yielded to her, so it's your turn.
Okay. Another contract pertaining to Westchester Medical Center here, which is located in my district, the Health Alliance hospitals are, which has workers who live in my district, who I represent, and of course patients throughout all of our districts, and workers probably throughout as well. And as far as I understand, Westchester Medical is still in violation of their state license and obligations to provide certain services pertaining to mental health. I'm wondering, we have the state here passing through funds to them. When is the state going to start docking them for not fulfilling these obligations? Can we call in Westchester Medical Center bosses and have them answer what they're doing to us here in Ulster County? I would not necessarily encourage a vote against this measure here, but I am still gravely concerned about the way that they have treated us since the early days of the pandemic, moving the beds out and then firing the staff, including lots of nurses. And if we hear it from them, they still have a long way to go, and I think we've heard that from our Department of Mental Health as well in this space before.
Legislator Petit.
And I totally agree with what Legislator Erner is saying. Also, this $184,000 contract, it looks like there's only one full-time person. So do they work 24/7? Or, I mean, it's what other services are they providing? And when they said they will share supportive services if they're, you know, assisting someone, what do they mean by sharing? Will they actually go as far as setting up appointments, following through to make sure the appointments have been made? And I think somebody who's in distress, especially at that level, isn't capable of waiting until the next day to call up and make appointments.
Commissioner, do you want to just speak to what they're doing?
Absolutely. So, yes, there's one full-time equivalent that's in the contract, and what they do is that they don't have one person. They will identify multiple staff throughout the shifts to be able to cover this position, to make sure that throughout the day there is someone that is doing this particular job. What they say too is that they utilize the resources to be able to have their EHR prompt the staff to make sure that they're including in any assessment and discharge planning all of what we're looking for them to provide, the linkages. Are you asking the questions? Are you making sure that someone is being discharged with a plan? I'm sorry, sorry, there was another part of your question. I want to make sure that I'm
following up on whether they got the actual services.
Right. So they will help to make the appointments, I believe, as a part of protocol outside of this crisis intervention program. They do follow-up calls to see if the individual discharged from the ED has made the connection. But beyond that, I don't think that they do. It's a part of our deliverables, at least, to make sure that they're following up.
Okay. And this contract, we've got the clause in there where if we decide that maybe the Dutchess County Stabilization Center would better serve our needs and was willing to contract with us, do I have a 60-day out?
I'm assuming our boilerplate.
Well, we've utilized the boilerplate, and if it's in there, then it's in this contract. But I also did just want to, in terms of looking to redirect the dollars, these are specifically for folks that are in the emergency room. So I don't know if at a stabilization center it would be the same level of service that we would be expecting.
Legislator Nolan.
I just want to say that while I share the concerns that are articulated here about the organization, I'm very concerned that we not upset contracts that provide services that are really important to people in our county, and that I consider these services to fall into that category. So where this contract could trigger us to have a separate discussion about what services could be moved and try to, you know, work with the state on that, this is a significant investment in care for people coming in the emergency room with mental health issues, sometimes previously undiagnosed. So this is really important, I think, that we separate out and not have the beneficiaries of these contracts suffer as we're trying to get a better system in place.
Legislator, you should tell.
Two things. First thing, regarding the contract, page 10, first sentence, either party may by written notice to the other party, effective upon mailing, terminate this agreement in whole or in part at any time for convenience. And for other things, but for convenience is right there. So I think that settles that. And then I wanted to speak to Legislator Erner's suggestion about calling in the Westchester medical staff. We did do that when this first happened, when they pulled the mental health beds. We did that in exactly the same situation where we had another resolution that was semi-related that we were hesitant to pass. We postponed it a month. We had their leadership come. They told us the story that they tell about how now that they've cleared the floor space of mental health beds, they can do this wonderful cardiac catheterization surgery, which I appreciate. It's a surgery I've had, but it's obviously much more lucrative for them. And so I just wanted to point out that we have done that. It didn't produce more mental health beds, but it did help us hear their side of things, I suppose.
Thank you. I would also add that the state has also engaged a lot with this, with Health Alliance. Add that to Legislator Nolan's point, we did request earlier in this particular session to know any contract that's with Health Alliance that could be bid elsewhere, not just Health Alliance, but others. And so as this is emergency room response, is something that's limited to that. And I guess the last thing I would just point out for myself is I was always, you know, would be the front of the rally against Health Alliance, given is long before they moved the mental health beds. I had an issue with Health Alliance for years before that, because seeing that they had they got district money, that they had these gigantic plans for what they were going to do at this health hub in downtown that just years and years went by with nothing. So I would say that my anger towards Health Alliance exceeds what they've done. That said, I also recognize that they are our hospital, and we do need them to not be worse. And so these kinds of funding actually assure that some of these services are still being provided to our people. I wouldn't want to, like, you know, continue to chop down their services so that we have nothing here. And I can't say that us not doing this would ever
make them, there's been so much pressure on them to change their ways that hasn't changed their ways that I don't really think this is going to make a difference. So in the meantime, I agree we need to get these services out. So any others? Okay. All in favor of Resolution 525?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstains? All right, so unanimous. 526, a contract for $2,272,000 with MHA of Ulster County. Also, OMH pass-through money. Motion to discuss.
I'll move it.
Second it. Any discussion?
I just have a question. The styptic says, I guess I should, it's not called that in this committee, but the budget stick there says 96 state and 4% county, mm-hmm. but that's all represented as pass through in the title and in the appropriations, the financial impact. Are those numbers correct if it's 96% state?
I will look right now.
Because we could amend that if needed.
Would you be willing to have that correction be put into place by Ways and Means?
Yes.
Sure. Okay.
Small, if needed.
That didn't match?
We don't I think that's like actually that. Correct because there is a level of county contribution that's helping to enhance mm-hmm. services on a local level, like the eating disorder programming that we pay towards.
But this is just dealing with the state portion of it? And it's the complete state portion?
No, I believe that I'd have to look.
Okay.
I believe that it's in the entirety, but I would have to.
So if you could just do, but it seems like there might be a couple of these where what's in the summary, the information wasn't there exactly at the breakthrough, and there's a few, like earlier it was a 1% county. So if you could just make sure that Vicki has the correct breakdown so that the summaries can actually reflect the allocation.
Yes.
That would be great. Thank you.
And I think that would be a ministerial change.
Yeah, so. And I think there's probably, according to Jay, there might be a few of those that just need a little of that tweaking, so
okay.
Appreciate you pointing that out. All right, any other discussion on this? All in favor of Resolution 526?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Okay. 527, approving a contract for $365,000. Entered in with people, OMH pass through, motion to discuss, Nolan, second.
Second.
Corcoran, any discussion? All in favor of 527?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. 528 is 783 with rehabilitation support services, also OMH pass through, motion to discuss.
Motion.
Uchtel, second. Corcoran, any discussion? All in favor of 528?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So one opposed. No abstentions. Resolution 529, approving the contract for $100,000, again with Health Alliance, Department of Mental Health. This is methadone maintenance. It is 100% county, but it's for the methadone maintenance. I will also clarify that we did check if methadone could be served somewhere else, and right now it's not. Motion to
discuss.
I'd like
to move it.
Second.
Second.
All right.
Could I follow up on your
sure.
statement then? Is it what is the word that I'm looking for? You have to be certified, or they have only a certain amount of clinics that are allowed within? Oh, boy. Okay.
But to that, when is the RF, when is this, when would be the right time? What I wonder is, if an RFP is out again, whether at this point there are organizations that might want to consider providing this service. They may not, you may look and say, I don't see them now, but there are other healthcare delivery services. So when would this RFP go back out again?
I don't believe that this was an RFP.
Are they selected by the hospital? By the state?
Oh, so in terms of the license, it would be a provider going to OASAS to say,
I'd like
to be able to provide methadone service.
So we don't do, we don't.
They have to get a waiver, right? Like then there's only a certain number.
There's only a certain number. What I will say mm-hmm. is that the Lexington Center that I believe is based in Dutchess mm-hmm. County received, I'm sorry,
Westchester.
Oh, in Westchester. The Lexington Center received some SAMHSA grant monies to be able to do a satellite of their methadone clinic here in Ulster County, and they're currently looking for space.
And would they be seeking that waiver then in the future?
So they have a license, and because of some changes in the law, they've been allowed to do a satellite with some greater ease.
Sorry, let me reword it. Would we be able to, if once they were fully established, apply the same funding to them?
It could be a consideration of the legislature.
Okay, it is possible. Like, we don't have, it's not like the state decides and that's who we have to fund. We could fund them.
The state decides to provide the license.
Right.
And
right.
Then with these county contributions, the legislature determines where they want them to go.
Great. Thank you. Legislature Nolan.
So for a future meeting, maybe we should have a discussion about methadone. We've had presentations in the past that there's an additional new use of using methadone as part of the induction into medically assisted treatment. And so we have some questions at Samadhi Center about how that can be done and who can do it. It's increasingly something that is desired by people who are want to enter medical assisted therapy, would prefer to do it with methadone on board.
So when would this other organization sort of be settled?
If they can find a space, they...
So could we wait till they're settled, and then it would be nice to meet this
perfect
organization who's providing the service in our county, and that might be a good time to ask the question?
Love
so
it.
Let
yeah
us know when they're settled.
Will do.
Any other questions on this? All right. All
May I?
Oh, go ahead, Legislator Erner.
Thank you. Given the discussion around the previous resolution concerning Westchester Medical Center's Health Alliance hospitals, can we as a committee consider recommending that Ways and Means communicate to the state our dissatisfaction with the current situation and acknowledge the need for these services that for this resolution we're poised to pay for as a county, and ask that if the state is unwilling to enforce its law concerning the hospital, that they pay for it instead.
I think nothing stops anybody from reaching out to the state representatives or putting in a memorializing resolution that we could pass through as a resolution to go up to the state. So yes, of course, we could. Anyone could. All right. Any other conversation on this? Okay. All in favor of Resolution 529?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstained? Okay. Briefly, hopefully, because I'm going to get fired from this job that I started on Monday if I don't get to it soon. But I don't want to... So we had said October for draft resolutions, but this is October. So can we just, when might we see some potential resolutions? And I just want to caveat that by saying this is particularly important because we have resolution in to establish funding for housing. Efforts are being made to put money towards housing, and we need to match it with actual ways that we want to spend it. And so this is a really important time to know, well, how do we as the legislature want to spend our housing money? When giving your update, also talk about when you think we might be able to see some potential resolutions in place. So do you want to start, Legislator Lopez?
Yeah, sure. One of the biggest ideas that came out of the group so far is potentially creating a housing trust fund. Now, after a conversation that I had with Legislator Nolan the other day, I realized that it was somewhat preempted with the potential creation of a a reserve fund, a housing reserve fund. So, I was thinking, other than reinventing the wheel here or creating something different, it's basically the same thing. I thought maybe we'd be able to incorporate the ideas that we came up with out of our working group and work together in order to address some of those issues. And kind of collaborate together.
Great.
Get out to, come up with a good policy moving forward.
That's great. So that's one element is, and that sort of speaks to this idea of we've created this, or we're working to create this fund.
Sure.
Do you have, will your committee have any resolutions of actually ways we might spend that money?
Sure, yeah. One of the ideas were maybe reaching out to municipalities and providing incentives to do updated zoning. A lot of these municipalities don't have the budgets in order to hire their own, people in order to update their zoning. So maybe we could do, a matching, potentially. That's definitely one of them. The other thing is also potentially providing funds for people that fall into the gray area, maybe first-time home buyers, people who make too much for assistance but don't make enough to afford. So, a couple of ideas.
Great. So I'll say on the first one, I believe we'll see it in our 2023 budget, just what you said, but it's probably worth looking at to see whether that encompasses or whether you feel like it should be more robust than what they're already proposing.
Sure.
Because they have somebody and it's an intention. They've already created this sort of certification that municipalities do if they're willing to commit to, making these code changes. So, but certainly this would be the time to see whether that's enough or whether we want more. And then with the second one, the more you can sort of maybe for the next meeting come with some specifics, like what exactly are we talking about? Are we talking
Definitely
about seed mortgage money? How would we determine? How much would it be? So that would be great.
We're gonna meet, I think it's not this week, but following.
Great, thank you. Yes.
So just one quick point too is that not only was there the reserve set up for housing and green growth, but you'll see as you're going through your capital program that there was $30 million put aside in the capital program for an affordable housing capital, which is about $6 million a year being spent on affordable housing on top of that.
Okay. Again, we need to know how to spend it.
So, sure.
So if I may.
You may.
So I just want to introduce Kyle Lord Farmer, who's the senior planner for Ulster County. He's working solely on housing issues. And Kai was instrumental in helping stand up what we call the Housing Smart Communities Initiative, and that's one of the things that you just mentioned. We did put money in the county planning budget's operating budget, separate and aside from the reserve fund. I keep calling it fund, it's not a fund, it's
reserve.
And we did put money in there so that we could help communities essentially update their zoning statutes, move to essentially do housing action plans at a local level. And so what we're working on now, and you should be aware of, the planning department is working on some of the things that we think that the $17 million and the other funding could be used for. We're also, quite frankly, reaching out to other counties and talking to them about how they're spending their housing dollars. We have a meeting set up with Dutchess County to talk about they have actually set up a housing trust fund. So we're having a meeting with Dutchess County to set up how that's going to work. But we're starting to see these things, something like big buckets, like infrastructure, temporary housing, supportive housing. But what we're really trying to gear towards is increase in supply and increasing of the quality of housing. So those are things that you're thinking about. And then the last thing we're thinking about is trying to deal with some of these eviction problems. Mm. And in dealing with those eviction problems, there are other programs that are already set up. Rapid rehousing programs, for example, is one of the things where you can't meet first month's and last month's rent, but you can pay the rent, you just can't get into the apartment. And then landlord assistance programs for small landlords so that they can improve their property. And then by approving their property, you then limit their rents in terms of affordability, and you carry their rents forward. That program has been implemented in Orange County, it's been implemented in other counties. And then we're thinking about how does that work in terms of how it works through the legislature. And given the fact that you have these fairly large sums of money in reserves right now, and you have an existing committee that's working through the ARPA work, we have an existing staffing at the finance level that's working through ARPA. There may be some government efficiency in terms of looking at what that committee does in terms of scoring how you spend these reserve funds, and then moving it back to the legislative committees that have the appropriate jurisdiction. So So those are the kinds of things that we're thinking about, and we're trying to write that up for you so that effectively you have things that you can look at and respond to.
Thanks. And I do know you attend some of these meetings, and I hope you continue to, so that the group of people from our community who are at these meetings have that chance to give their feedback, so that we know as legislators that we're representing those, that we're meeting what they're saying, and that they have a chance to chime in.
At the risk of you losing your job that you just started, I wonder if Kai could say something in terms of what his background is and how he came to us.
Is it four sentences or less?
I grew up in Ulster County in Rosendale, worked for many years on housing and climate in California, and happy to be back here working on these really important issues in the county I grew up in.
Great, thank you.
Yep.
And actually, I think we did meet you in a previous meeting.
Yeah. I'll just also like to say, I think I attend Yishtel and Erner's working group meeting, but I'd love to attend the other ones as well.
Yeah, so it's Lopez and Nolan have their own, so.
Great. I can reach out.
Kai came into one of ours, I think, when you first joined the staff, I think.
Okay, do you give a brief update?
We're doing everything that planning is doing. And we're supporting the resolutions that are coming from Uchitel and Lopez. Seriously, the emergency and transition housing, we looked at what we need, and we haven't found a specific thing that is dropping out that we think money can fix or that a different policy can fix. So we want to support all this. We're still working. The main thing that we see is that there may be services where individuals don't know about the services and so end up a homeless and seeking housing rather than proactive. So we have another meeting scheduled this month, and we'll see if there is anything specific that we would like to see, either budget-wise or...
Can I ask you to run an idea by them? I had brought it out earlier. So we have the Oracle program where individual is identified in crisis because of substance, usually opioid, and that a whole team of people kind of go and support this individual. When we were at the Association of Counties, one of the counties talked about a similar program for people with a housing crisis where it's like an immediate, all of a sudden their apartment has been flooded or something came down, like where that night they are finding themselves like, what do I do right now? To have, where you can call like Oracle, a whole team shows up and it's, you know, what do you need? How do you need this? Where do you got to go? What else can we get? And then usually those are the people who might have several other issues. So like getting them connected, because it may also be that they're food insecure at the same time, but also like, are they diabetics who have to store their medication in a refrigerator and they don't have, so just sort of that kind of response by a team when somebody finds themselves all of a sudden having a housing problem for like that night or the next day kind of thing, an acute response, just as an idea of whether that's of interest since we have a model.
We did actually discuss it a little bit. We can go back to it. We do have a 24-hour hotline with Samadhi that people who are not in the law enforcement circle can call, but that could be expanded. And Department of Social Services does take those calls currently. But having it packaged as a hotline
I'm actually thinking they go to them, because that's how Oracle works, is they show up and there's this team of people saying, how can we help you?
Uh-huh.
What do you need?
Uh-huh.
And sort of really going to them. And so, again, they do it, I don't know if it was orange or green, that's how we do Oracles. They show up there kind of saying, hey, you've got this support net here, and we can continue to help you if you need it. And so it's not totally reinventing the wheel. It's just sort of this idea of, I imagine somebody, you know, like the night someone's house burns down.
Or an eviction.
Or an eviction. Mm-hmm. Or something where they have this number, this group of people come, and they find out, especially recognizing that housing would be one of their needs, but they probably have several. And so just a thought, this other county was doing it. It sounded cool. It sounded so much like Oracle that it seems like we have the system in place. It would just, instead of substance abuse, it would be.
And wouldn't that be coordinated with Red Cross or one of the other?
Very easily. Like, we have all the people. It's just sort of creating that model. perhaps, and maybe some better tracking so that those people, it's not just at that moment, but making sure they stay in services. But just a thought, I liked when I heard it.
Yeah, I will reach out to get further information about that and bring it back in a more concrete way.
I mean, if it's not loved, it's not loved, but it's just, I love it.
Bring up one, and I haven't been able to make Legislator Nolan's subcommittee, but given this is my last month of these meetings, I wanted to bring up an idea that we had looked at a little bit in the executive's office and not fully gone through because we haven't found a place for it, but is creating some type of pallet village. A pallet is an organization that builds temporary shelters. You could house 15 to 20 people and have community buildings, bathrooms for relatively, I mean, it's like $500,000-$600,000 and setting up support there. So that would help in the temporary instance where someone loses housing and then there could be a place for them to go.
Things for you to talk about. All right. Legislator, you
So we had a very large conversation. It started to have the vibe of the conversation expanding to fill the space we allow it to fill. So we came out of that conversation asking the attendees to prioritize their top few priorities. The priorities that we got are pretty straightforward. Investment in creating housing, seniors, you know, support for seniors, or rather support to create more housing for seniors or to enable more housing to be accessible to seniors. And the housing fund is also one that we've gotten support for. So our next, you know, meeting is going to be before the resolution deadline. So if there's something that comes out that makes sense for a resolution, we'll try and get that in. But that's you know, we're trying to drive towards having these be the last couple of meetings.
Right, that'd be great. And I guess that's that question of how, like, how shall we help seniors housing?
Yeah.
Like, what should that look like?
And a lot of it has to do with inventory. Creating inventory. So these might be programs you know, for example, a program that would help, we were going to help property owners retrofit their properties. We could add retrofitting of properties for a senior citizen to be able to have access, whether it's ADA or something else. We could add that to the list of things that property owners could use funds for to keep rents low and so on and so forth.
Yeah, so as long as you encourage them on specific hows,
right,
as opposed to what.
I will say some of these might make more sense as budget amendments than as standalone resolutions for the November session.
Absolutely. I mean, who knows when this, but I think the most important thing is that we have a few right in front of us. But yeah, I don't want anyone to feel stressed in terms of timing it, like to match, you know, this fund will be established on. It's unlikely the fund is not going to be established, so we have the opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's more that we don't want your groups to feel like they're growing on forever. So that's where I'm putting the timing is more so that you kind of make them come to some conclusions as opposed to that we're trying to meet some county level. So, you know, if for some reason yours runs into January, like, and that's when it ends, I think it's, we'll have the money. I think, I don't want you to feel the stress of, like, getting it in by next month.
My stress is based on people out there that have no homes. So
yes, and no, that's a definitely good reason to move this along also, for sure. But I just didn't want, sometimes as we get to budget time, it could feel like there's this other stress of trying to meet some deadline because of that, and we want the right resolutions to be in place. Go ahead.
May I add anything?
Sure. Go for
Thank
it.
You. Our low-income affordable housing working group's next meeting is specifically on Thursday, October 20th, from 4 to 5. And Chair Walter, you'd asked how can we spend the funds. One thing we're looking at is an office of housing council, which exists in some places around the United States. It exists in form. Something like that, a little different in New York City, but Westchester County is looking at something quite like that, and there is a state bill about it as well. If we did go ahead and create something like that in our county, and then the state did so afterward, then Westchester's measure says that it would basically go to the state, and that would That would be my preference if we were able to do that, but it's not. That's one way we can spend the funds here. All kinds of legal services, including some of which we were talking about earlier after the special meeting, possibly bringing in-house some of what we're proposing to contract out with legal services of the Hudson Valley.
Great. So I definitely, you're on that committee. You're the co-chair, so you should certainly bring that up with your group. Anything else? All right. Motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all.